Last week, we started looking at this whole area of growing. How do we grow in our faith? What does it look like? And over these next few weeks, I want us to look together at some of the marks. How can you tell if you're growing? How can you tell? Just like taking the lid off those seeds and seeing the little changes that are there, and you think, yes, they're starting to grow. What is it that we can look at in our own lives and begin to realize that we're growing? What are the marks? And the first one that I want us to look at, makes a difference when I turn it on. The first one that I want us to look at is simply this idea of holiness. This idea of holiness. Now, sometimes we hear this idea of holiness and we think, well, that's okay. That's for the professionals. That's for the missionaries. If you had the opportunity this week to hear Maud Kells speaking about some of her exploits in the Congo, what a remarkable lady. What a remarkable God at work in the Congo. So holiness, that's fine. That's for professionals. That's for missionaries and ministers. That's for Sunday school teachers. That's for those who are keen. But it's not. The Bible is clear that it's for all of us. All of us who seek to follow Jesus Christ, all of us are called to holiness. All of us are called to grow. And here it is. Tom read it for us. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We're all called to holiness. Now, I wonder what pictures go through your head when we talk about holiness. What sort of picture do you have in your head? Maybe it's the halo. Maybe you know people like that. Maybe that's how you see yourself. I don't know. Maybe it's a halo. Is that holiness? Maybe it's somebody that carries the biggest, floppiest Bible you have ever seen. They must be a holy person. Maybe somebody wears a dark suit and an even darker face. They must be a holy person. What does holiness look like? Because unless we know what holiness looks like, how are we ever going to know if we're growing in that holiness? Are we going to be continually looking for a halo? Continually looking for that bigger Bible that we can carry around? Continually looking for that somber face that we wear because we're holy? Or is it something different? Is it something more? We're called to be holy. We're called to be like God. Be holy because I'm holy. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. We're called to be like God, which is an amazing thing. Now, when the Bible talks about God being holy, the idea of that holiness is being separate. So we think about God as being holy. God is the creator, and he is separate from everything that he's created. So God is holy. He's separate. The other way that God is holy is that he is separate from everything that is sinful, everything that is wrong. He's totally separate from sin. Now, when we're called to be holy, to be like God, we're probably not called to be separate from our creation. We're not creators in that sense. Our holiness is in being separate from sin. And that's a huge challenge. The writer to the Hebrews says simply, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And there's that idea of throwing it off. It's not just hoping that it will fall off. It's not just hoping that somehow we will escape, but the writer to the Hebrews says, throw it off. Get rid of it. Be separate from it. Not called to be separate from the world. Sometimes down through history, people have thought the only way to be separate from sin is to be separate from the world. And so you read of people who have spent a lifetime sitting on top of a post in the middle of a desert. Separate. That's not what we're called to. We're called to be separate from sin. Again, the passage that Tom read for us says this: therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled. It's a lot about us. Be self-controlled, be prepared for action. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So Peter is simply saying, look, you know how you used to live? Forget it. Forget it. Throw it off. Get rid of it. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Do not conform to what you used to be when you lived in ignorance. Beginning of chapter 2 of that passage in Peter, we read this: therefore, and here's another word, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Rid yourselves. Throw it off. Rid yourselves. We need to be active in this. It's not just hoping that it'll go away. It's hoping in Christ that it will go away. Peter continues, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may, and here it is, grow up in your salvation. Our growing has to do with throwing off, getting rid, but also growing in our salvation. Rid ourselves. Rid ourselves. How do we do that? Sounds very easy. How do you throw it off? How do you get rid of it? We all make choices. We're constantly making choices from the moment we wake in the morning until the moment we fall asleep at night. We're constantly making choices. Some of them are fairly trivial. But often the choices we make are important, and they can lead us either in the direction of growing or in the direction, as Peter says, of our evil desires, the choices that we make. You don't see it so often now, but people used to wear, not that long ago, bracelets which had WWJD written on them. What would Jesus do? And it became a wee bit corny and cliched, but it's so true. When we face choices which have important consequences, we need to ask, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Is this choice going to lead me towards growing in my salvation, or is this choice going to lead me back into what Peter calls our evil desires that we used to have? Choices. We need to be careful in the choices we make. Listen again to Paul as he speaks to the early church. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, that's how you used to be, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. There's a conscious act here. Giving ourselves. Ridding ourselves. Throwing off. It's intentional. Sometimes we think that just by coming and sitting in church, somehow we will absorb from around us. You know, if you put a sort of half an onion into a fridge and you leave it for a while, absolutely everything in that fridge will have that wonderful taste of onion, which isn't great for strawberry yogurts and things, but somehow we think that our growing will be like that, and we think as long as we're in the presence of other Christians, we'll absorb it from them. We need to be intentional about growing, about throwing off, about getting rid, about focusing on God. When Paul writes to young Timothy, this leader coming up in the church, he says this: train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. And the picture, the image is simply of physical exercise. Maybe an athlete getting ready, preparing to compete. They train themselves physically. They don't sit about thinking, I hope that someday I'll be able to run the 100 meters faster than Usain Bolt. They're intentional. They get out there and they train. They're focused. They're committed. They're dedicated. They know what their goal is. They know what they want to be and do. And Paul says to Timothy, if that's the way you train for a race, how much more do you need to train for godliness? Train yourself to be godly. You see, it's possible to train yourself in totally the wrong direction. You could train yourself by physical training, by proper diet, getting the right amount of sleep, being focused on your goal, or you could simply lie on the couch and eat crisps and Big Macs and watch the television. And you're training yourself, but you're training yourself in the wrong direction. It's possible to train yourself in the wrong direction. What direction are you training yourself in? Are you training yourself to be godly? And it takes us being intentional. It's throwing off, it's getting rid of, but it's also training ourselves. Which direction are you training yourself in? Again, in the letter to the Romans, Paul says, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. That's one direction to train yourself. Live according to your sinful direction. Live, as Peter says, in those evil desires. Or, if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. Which direction are you training yourself in? It's not just disliking sin. Lovely story about the child that came back from church, and his granny asked him, well, what did the minister talk about this morning? And he said to her, well, he talked about sin. And what did he say about it? I don't know. Well, what did he say about it? And the wee fellow looked at her and said, I think he was against it. Sometimes, you know, we're against it. Yeah, we're against it. We dislike it. But it's much, much more than that. That letter, that verse in the letter to the Romans simply says, put it to death. This is severe language. Putting to death our sin. The old Puritans used to talk about mortifying our sin. That's how serious it is. It's not just a discomfort with it or a dislike of it, putting it to death. But maybe we look at our own lives and we think, you know what, I'm never going to change. Yeah, I know that goes on in my life. I know that's what's going through my head. I know those are the things that I do and say, but that's just me. I'm never going to change. Or maybe we look at other people and think, well, they're never going to change. When we start to think like that, we're actually denying the gospel. We're actually denying the fact that with Jesus in us, we are transformed. With Jesus in us, we are changed. We're growing, maturing. There's nobody that can remain unchanged with Jesus at work in their life. Remember the bookends from last weekend? The two bookends on our lives, the righteousness of Jesus and the power of Jesus. This is how we can change. It's not about me changing my life, turning over a new leaf. It's about what God is doing in me. But I have to intentionally step into that. I have to intentionally step into that pathway and say, this is what I want. I want to grow in holiness. I want to train to be godly. And we need to go back to that verse again and again. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Even those most entrenched sins in our lives, we need to look at them and say, you know what, that can be finished because of Christ who gives me strength. Have you ever had this? Bitten into a lollipop or an ice cream and, oh! No. Am I the only one that's ever done that? Yeah, it's just that jolt that goes through you. It is painful. Sensitive teeth. But thankfully, you can get toothpaste and you scrub it on and you clean it, and the toothpaste covers that sensitivity, reduces that sensitivity. Very often, we have covered and reduced our sensitivity to sin. We've become complacent. That's just the way I am. That's just the way he is, she is. We've become complacent with it, and we've lost our sensitivity to sin. And it goes back to this verse from 1 Peter that says, be holy as God is holy. It goes back to that, because if God is not holy, then sin doesn't matter. Sin matters because God is holy. If God is not holy, then sin doesn't matter. If sin doesn't matter, we don't need the Savior. And we become complacent. But the truth is that God is holy. And because God is holy, sin does matter. And because sin does matter, it needs to be dealt with. And that's why Jesus died. God is holy. Sin does matter. So my question to myself and to each of us is simply, do you want to grow? Do you want to grow in Christ? Do you want to grow in Christ enough to want to be sensitive to sin? Is that my prayer, your prayer? Lord, may I wince with the pain of that sin. Do I want to grow enough to want to be sensitive to sin? And we need to focus that down. Sometimes we talk about sin. I wonder what it is in your life. Is it that grudge that you've held for so long now that, goodness, you can't even remember why it started in the first place, but it's still there? Is it that greed that's always looking for a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more? Is it that envy? Is it the pride that looks down on everyone else and thinks, glad I'm not like them? Is it the gossip? We love to hear that latest wee bit of gossip. Did you hear about it? Is it the stuff that we watch on the internet and we just hope no one else knows we watch it? What is it in your life that God is calling to you to be sensitive to? What is it that God wants you to wince with the pain of? What is it that God wants you to, in his strength, throw off, get rid of, so that you may grow? One of the sure signs that we're growing up in our salvation is that we're becoming increasingly sensitive to sin in our lives. And we're not just content to let it run. You bite into that ice cream and you feel that cold jolt through your tooth and you think, I'm not going to let this, I need to get this seen to, I need to get this sorted. When we wince with the pain of our sin, are we equally determined to get it sorted? Do we run to the Savior? His righteousness, his power. Called to holiness. Not to have a halo. Not to carry that biggest, floppiest Bible. Not to be dark and somber. But to be like Jesus. To grow up in our salvation. May God give us the grace to wince with the pain of our sin. May God give us the grace to accept the transformation that Jesus brings. Let's pray together. Lord, as we bow before you, we remember that our lives are open before you. Nothing's hidden from you. Nothing is kept from you. Nothing is a secret from you. We know the things that go on in our heads and our hearts. You know the things that we say and do and think when we think no one else is watching. Forgive us, Lord. When we have accepted our sinfulness and done nothing about it, and so, Lord Jesus, we run to you, the one who died for us, the one who's risen again and at work in us and through us. Lord, may we grow in you. May we grow to hate our sin as much as you hate sin. And may we grow to know that it was for that sin that Jesus died. And then, Lord, may we be changed to be more and more like Jesus. For we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.